Welcome back to Wedlocked and Loaded.
Wedlocked and Loaded.
You women,
do not lump us all in one category.
You know, so you girls, and lie and stretch the truth
you
and try
girls,
to get us jammed up.
First of all, I'm a whole ass woman, right? Think about
no
that.
No disrespect.
Sounds like it to me. So why can't y'all? What is it with men that they just can't walk away?
Depends how good it is. You don't want to give that away.
Greetings, everyone. New episode, Wedlocked and Loaded. I am Daniel Laurent.
And I am Leah Nicole.
And we have a couple of, a show of maybe spicy topics that we'll talk about. So there's a couple of things that we have been seeing in passing, and we're like, you know what? We want to address these things. So we are going to run through them, boom, 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 Gangnam style, and, you know, give our takes on them. So first on the docket is Queen Jemele Hill. She asked a question, and we're going to see what we feel about it.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm probably going to make a super unwise decision by getting involved in these gender culture wars that seem to be taking place inside of our community. But I did honestly have a question. Because I see two things happening in one, and I'm wondering how do they flow together or if they flow together. So I often see black men who have daughters posting on social media about like how they feel like their daughters should be treated as queens, respected, all those things. They should be waiting for a man that's gonna give them everything, that they should have a high standard, that they should not settle for anybody who's trying to be cheap, all these things. And again, this is coming from black men who have daughters. At the same time, simultaneously, there are conversations about how black women expect too much, how there's too many black women who are out here on dates and whatnot, or in whatever realm, who are asking people to pay their rent, who are feeling super entitled. And I'm not trying to negate the experiences of black men who have run into these kind of women, not at all. But I do find it kind of interesting that the messages are so different. You have black men who have daughters on one end saying that their daughters should have an expectation for a man that they date. And then you have black men on the other hand who are out in these streets who are also saying, yo, y'all asking for a little too much. So I want to hear from the black men who are dating and the black men who have daughters.
So I'll flip it. So what say you?
How are you flipping it?
I want to hear what you think.
I think this, right? I think that, oh God, this is a loaded question, but I feel that as a woman and as a mother of two young black women, there absolutely should be some expectations, and there should be very little settling, right? So for me, you know, I raise my children, and I'm speaking specifically of my daughters, with the idea and notion that, yes, you go out there, you get it on your own. However, you have also lived a specific way, right? You were provided a certain lifestyle. And if the people that you are choosing to deal with cannot provide that for you, then you don't need to deal with them, whether you can do it on your own or not. Like, they have to, I believe that people should meet you where you are. Can you grow together? Let's just say this. I don't believe in, nor do I agree with, struggle love.
Explain.
Can we both be getting it out the mud together? And can we both, you know, supersede, you know, whomever, whatever? Absolutely. But if I'm already established and you as my mate cannot meet me where I am and we can grow from there, then if you can't meet me, then we don't need to meet at this juncture in our life. Because I can't try to maintain myself while providing for you until you get on your feet.
Is that one-sided?
Because
the expectation is that the man takes care.
I don't believe that it's one-sided. So initially you hear me when I say, meet me where I'm at, right? I don't want neither one of us to be struggling. But if I am, if I'm successful in my own right, and you come to me with just a hype dream, not to say that your dream, you can't make your dream come true. But right now, if I meet you where you are, then I am no longer able to do the things that I am accustomed to doing or that I enjoy doing because I'm now supporting you. And it's not as if we were together and then this, we were together for a long time and we were both rocking and rolling, you know, and something happened where one of us lost the job. I'm talking about if we're just meeting, like if I'm at the gas station, a full service one, right, getting my gas pumped, and you know you just happen to go in the gas, you know you just happen to go into the store, whatever the case may be, we meet somewhere randomly, and you're already on struggle mode, and I'm already where I'm at. We can't continue the conversation here because what are we doing? If we are together and we're building and when something happens, different story. But I want to be able to meet somebody that is at least on my level intellectually, emotionally, and financially.
That's fair. I mean, I think, you know, everyone has opinions, so people probably I think it's a very logical thing to say. I do feel like, you know, the luxury, well, I don't know if it's a luxury or reality, but, you know, a guy, and somebody had a conversation about this not too long ago, and it was articulated so well, and I feel like I couldn't say it better myself. But it's certainly expected. It's expected or expected and accepted. Yeah. So, for men to, you know, if you are well off and you meet a woman who is, maybe she's a full time. She went back to school. She's a full-time college student and she's a single mom and maybe she has some benefits and maybe she works part-time wherever, right? Like that same sentiment of, I want to meet you. I want you to meet me where I am. I think is handled differently and it might be our own fault.
Listen, if you want to be a trick, be a trick. Okay.
Yeah, and I think that, and you know, I think some that
that's
people
very different.
Some people
that's very
go
different
into
from
rescue
what I'm
mode.
Saying. That's very different from what I'm saying. But however, sis is out there and she decided to go back to school as a single mom and she's working part-time. She's doing what she needs to do to provide for her and hers, right? And so she is trying to do something where she is progressing in life and say and show that she's not going to be in this same predicament forever. I'm doing something to better myself. I'm doing something so that I can move forward at my job. I'm doing something so that I can now invest in my dreams and make them a reality. I'm doing something to show my child that, you know, no, you don't depend on anyone because look, your daddy ain't here. You don't, not, and by anyone, I mean a man. So now you see me going to do what I need to do to provide a better life for not only myself, but for us, to show you what it looks like if you choose to pick whomever you choose to pick and that person is not really the right fit. Like, I feel like that. I feel like that's just a little bit different. I know for me, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and I spoke about this before, you know what I mean? Like, you know, as a teenager, like I enjoyed money. I think we all do, right? And I dated dudes that made fast money, specifically because they made fast money. And they were pretty loose with it. You know what I mean?
They were loose with it, and then you were loose with it too?
No, I didn't. No, I wasn't loose with it.
All right.
But nice try. And so for me, when I had my children, specifically, again, my daughters, and I'll go a step further, my first daughter, it was important for me to show her and show them a lot of and give them the show them things and give them the experiences that I didn't necessarily receive, you know, from my parents or growing up, right? Like, it was important for them to travel. It was important for them to get out of the city, and particularly our city, because we didn't only do international flights. We did do some city to city trips, but, you know, just so that they can see that there was more to this life than just being here in Boston, right? So that they wouldn't be impressed when somebody's little raggedy son said, oh, I want to take you somewhere, and that just was a trip to Miami, right? Like, success. And by raggedy son, you know, I don't mean that with all the disrespect that it sounds like I mean it. But I mean it, right? Because, again, as a parent, for the most part, no one's going to be good enough for our children, right? So, you know.
I think to Jamel's, so what I would say is,
It's not me raising, you know, I would say, like, I went and stood up there and, you know, I want to drill in their head that they deserve nothing but the best, right? But at the same time, you have to show yourself that, you have to believe that of yourself and in yourself, and it's okay if you demand that.
Yeah, I mean, I think standards are important, you know, across the board. And so whatever those are, you know, I think it gets tricky when people start trying to quantify, you know, what said thing is. And so we all remember Chili's infamous list of all these things that she wants, right? And life and just time and experience, I think, started maybe knocking some of those things off. And maybe they haven't. Maybe the person she's with has all those things. I don't know. But when you just start having certain things, I just have a problem with if someone has, you know, filet mignon and, you know, 5,000 thread count standards and ambitions, but you're on, you know, you're contributing, you know, Taco Bell pricing, right? You're not contributing really much, but you have all these high expectations and all these standards that you need to be, they need to be checked off. And so that's my issue with that. And I feel like sometimes it just gets a little out of whack with both men and women. And, you know, for men who have daughters, it should give you a different level of empathy and have you be in touch with your, is it divine feminine? Oh, no.
Divine femininity.
You should be in touch in such a way where it gives you a different, like Jay said it, took for me having twins to see through a woman's eye. Took me having my daughter to see through a woman's eyes. You know, I think that should happen, you know. And I think the interesting ones are the ones that can have daughters and they can still be savages, right? I feel like that's a very interesting prototype in itself. But I think that both things will happen. you'll have people that don't have that, and they're on a receiving end of all these things. And I think the culture and music and society all kind of plays into, you know, I was just talking to somebody earlier about, like, you know, he said, like, you know, he couldn't stand Beyonce with the whole, you know, Lemonade album. It was anti-men and blah, blah, blah. I was like, yo, she was going through pain and she was airing that out. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like when people take certain things as Bible from a woman who is going home and who's married, like, she is figuring it out. You are choosing not to, and holding on to those things that's not even a, you know what I'm saying? If you like, you should have put a ring on it. There are plenty of relationships where people are together 15 years with no ring.
And it just but is. But those are standards, right? Like,
and I get it. And
those are individual standards. And, you know, some can say that those people are foolish, and some can say that they might be the smartest things on this planet, right? However, you know, everybody's end goal is not to be married. Some people just want a life partner, right? Some people just want companionship. Some people get comfortable with a motherfucker and is just choosing to stay with that person because, you know, it's the devil that they know. There's so many different reasons for what, you know, what you just talked about, you know, and as far as B going through whatever with Jay, like, we all heard it. We've all been there. We've all done it. Like, did he feel the same way about Mary? You know what I'm saying? Because Mary. She laid her pain on the tracks.
Oh, the dude. Oh, well, I don't know.
Like, that's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't feel like it's anti, she was being anti-men. You know, she's just anti the bullshit.
And it's pain. Pain comes the way it comes. It is what it is.
But, you know.
All right. So this is supposed to be like rapid fire. All right. So the next topic. So this was a podcast, so I want to definitely, so I thought it was really, really dope. It's called Real Love Scenario, and they had Amanda Seales on it, and I thought the content was unbelievable, and it was just so many takes, and I'm like, damn, I just wanted to, like, find some, and so this is one of them.
I mean, the smart woman, dumb girl concept is really just this idea also that, like, the skills that make us effective in our work life mm-hmm. aren't helpful in yeah. our love life. I'm like, I remember a scenario where I was having a conversation with a brother where I was toe to toe with him in terms of, like, he's saying something. I'm like, well, you know, and then I have a retort because mm-hmm. I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
And he just got so kerfuffled. And he was just like, oh my God, like, I just, it's too much. And I was like, what is too much? He's like, I mean, I'm trying to talk to you. And I was like, yeah, I'm talking back to you. But I wasn't emotional. Like, it was like, we're just having, I mean, I would say it was heated, but we weren't, like, raising our voices or anything. But, yeah. like, I was keeping up.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's just, you know, you're just like, you're just doing too much. And that made me emotional because that made me feel like, damn, like, I'm literally just talking to you and it's just, and now I'm getting insulted, mm-hmm. right? So then I started crying. Well, now he know what to do. Once I became an emotional blob of a girl, now you can have compassion. Now you can, like, see where I'm coming from, or now you even care to see where I'm coming yeah. from. And that made me feel like, oh, so... you need me to be, like, low key in a smaller place than you. Like, you need to feel like I'm impaired, mm-hmm. even though I'm not, but, like, you need to feel like that to be able to handle me.
What do you think about that?
That definitely happens. I feel like the male ego just feels like, you know, the men and their ego just feel like they have to be inferior.
Superior.
See how you just did that? But thanks.
What? You said it wrong, right?
Perfect. I don't know. Did I?
Well, inferior is like, yeah. Like, meaning you're someone, you're saying that the men have to feel over or more dominant, they meaning to, superior. Yeah.
So superior.
And you would be inferior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
That's an assist. Don't play me.
Yeah. I didn't play you. I just said, yeah, just like that. See how you did that? And so, yeah.
So you agree?
Absolutely.
Well, I will say what I found interesting, because I feel like I've said this actual thing and it was frustrating for a long time, is that what makes you successful in work doesn't necessarily work in relationships. And so,
I mean, and that's true.
What made me really good as the supervisor and communicating with staff and doing the projects and the all the things that got me voted, star employee and all that stuff, none of that worked when I came home. And it was frustrating because all these different people from different walks of life, different upbringing, different age groups, I'm being able to relate to them and communicate with them effectively to do something that I ask. I'm working with them, and then I come home and it's not like, that shit was frustrating.
And I'll say this, right? I'll say this, because we've also had a conversation in regards to that, right? And so I think that, yes, your work life is vastly different from your home life. You are there for a specific amount of hours. You have a designated task that needs to be completed, right? And you don't have to worry about things such as bills being paid, dinner being made, kids taken care of, kids bathed, hot water keeping on, gas keeping on. You don't have to worry about any of that shit at work, right? You just have a designated task that needs to be completed. I need to show you how to complete this task. I need to walk you through the steps to so that we can get on the other side of whatever this task is and move on to the next. You have all the patience in the world because you're paid to have that. So even when you are frustrated, you are very rarely letting that show, if at all. However, when you get home, your tone is different because you're bringing home the frustrations of the day. Your tone is different because you have a different level of stress at home, because now you need to worry about keeping the lights on, keeping the gas on, keeping the food in the refrigerator, making sure dinner is done, making sure the hot water's on, making sure the kids is bathed before they go to bed at night, making sure that they get to bed at night so that they can get up at the right time in the morning, and making sure that they get to the bus stop at on time. Making sure that the homework is done, making sure that all the things. So no, it's not going to work the same. Because your level of patience is not the same. Your level of responsibility at home is not the same as it is at work. Are you responsible for making sure that the people understand how to complete their task? Absolutely. But you lay the seeds and the foundation down so that they can pick it up and move forward with it. At home, it's a constant seeding. It's not just a one drop. It's not just a one water. Is constant moving parts, especially when you have multiple children. Especially when you're trying to navigate, a new marriage or just living with each other or just understanding each other. Because sometimes in relationships, you come to crossroads and impacts.
Period, sis.
That's a good point. That's well said.
You seem very surprised by that. See, that's that smart girl shit.
No, it is.
Oh, okay.
I think, the moral of the story is basically like, you should have been paying me when I came home.
So I'm sorry.
The next clip is this.
Paying who?
Know that I have met enough men in a romantic space. Let me not say I don't know. I have not met enough men in a romantic space that like women. They yes. like pussy. Mm-hmm. But they don't like women. They don't.
They just tolerate them.
Yeah, like they don't mm-hmm. think we're cool. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like they don't think we're on their level. Like they don't see joy in us. Like they don't see our uniqueness as additive to their individualism. Like, yeah. And so they don't have like a inherent kindness that they extend to us. Mm. And I feel like that's been something that a lot of my female friends have like extended. My homeboys are men who I've never felt like I wasn't equal to. And then when I did, it was like, oh, well, we're not, you know what I'm saying? But they have always regarded me as a full person. Yeah. And like shared in my space, right? So I've had men who are like, I don't want my girl to be my friend. My girl is my girl. Yeah, that's common. That's really common. My girl is my girl. My friends are my friends. That's very common.
What do you think about that?
Which part?
Guys, you know, not liking women.
Okay. I see where she went with that. I see where she was heading with that. I see all the things. And, you know, there are some times when I question that. So I don't feel like she's too far off. There are some times where I feel like men don't like women. Yeah. So I would say that.
And I like them too much. And I get myself in trouble. And that's the
so
truth.
Again,
I'm not being funny.
So
I'm being dead serious.
Again, and I don't think this is what I'll say, right? I like men, right?
Do you though?
There are some men that I like in totality, meaning their whole being, right? From who they are, how they dress, how they talk, all of it, right? And then there are others when it's like, yo, shut up and just fuck me. I'm not really interested in you, just what you have to offer. And that's all she's saying, how men look at women or view women.
I've thought about that a lot.
And so I don't think that, you know, you might like the package that I present, but you don't like my flip mouth. You don't like my intellect. Like, let's just be real.
It's sad.
It is what it is, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's sad. Because the more, like, you know, get into the space with DV and all that stuff, it's really, like, dark.
But a lot of it is that like you can't like me or love me because you don't feel that way about yourself.
And people don't feel that way. They don't see it that way. And so like that's a never ending conversation you have. People are not walking around feeling like they don't love themselves. They think really highly of themselves. At least that's what they project. But the reality is, like, there's deep-rooted stuff. Well, all just, like, I don't know.
That trauma
is maybe the best relationships are the ones that, like, trauma bond.
That trauma is real. I don't know. I can't say that.
I would like to do a case study. I mean, I don't really care. I don't have...
I can't say that those are the best relationships.
I don't know,
I think that they may have some of the best times, right? But I can't say that they are the best relationships.
That's fair. All right, and so there was two other ones, but I'm just going to play one, and then we'll move on to another one. All right, so this is the other clip.
Okay, let's get down to brass tacks. Like, me not calling you for 9 hours, do you feel like that may be part of your trust issues? Mm-hmm. I feel like even just broaching
it that way,
yeah, allows you to self-explore. Mm-hmm. And if you're like, no, it's not. Nigga, you usually call me a night
based
hours.
On patterns,
you know.
Yeah.
Then the safe space is in him trusting that you are a valid examiner of your own behaviors.
Yeah.
And like someone should be able to watch and see through action if someone does that, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Are you a valid examiner of your own behaviors? I will tell you that in my relationship, in my effort to try to like create safe spaces. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I know that used to happen was, for whatever reason, like he just wouldn't say things that were bothering him, until they were retaliations. So it wouldn't get said, but then now that I have something that's bothering me, it's, we're going to deflect by talking about this thing.
Yep.
And so to try to curtail that, so I'm a root person, right? I'm not going to talk about the branches. I'm like, the root of this feels like you don't feel comfortable sharing things in the moment when they upset you. Why is that? So let's talk about that. And then I was like, so what if we do a thing where every day, at the end of the day, because for the most part, like, we would go to bed together. I was like, what if at the end of every day, like, we have a safe space where we, like, share whatever is on our chest for the day?
Yeah.
So that's the clip. And so the reason I chose that is a couple of reasons. One, I feel like you are similar to that, of you not saying, like, in real time what... Are you, like, singing in the middle of me talking? I just heard you. You gonna say you wasn't
singing? You heard something, but I wasn't singing.
It wasn't a yawn and it wasn't a burp. Don't be rude.
I'm not being rude.
So,
listen.
You are a person that, like, won't say in a moment, right? And
so,
Leah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
See,
go ahead.
Like, how do you debate? How do we debate
go
that
ahead,
it's
honey.
Dark outside?
Go ahead. We're not debating that.
All right. So, like, you don't say in the moment, right? You have to, like, you process it. You do your filter, you figure out whatever, and then you address it whenever that is, right? In the meantime, if something happens to happen and, you know, we end up going back and forth and having words, that may or may not come up because you were already processing it anyway. But to me, like, yo, we are talking about this. And when she said the root person, she's a root person.
You feel like you are.
I try to be, as I said in the other episode about like, I don't mind going through any of the problems and situations, but I want to get the nugget. And so therefore going forward. And so if it's something and I look at things the way my mind processes, it's almost like, and again, this is like what made me valuable and successful at work, of tracking. So, like, if an employee is coming through the door every day and, you know, something's falling on their head, a piece of the door is falling on their head, maybe the first time it's not to be so alarmed. Maybe it was just a loose thing. But if it's happening to 3-4 employees, there's a trend. So now let's figure this out. Let's fix it, right? You don't have to go crazy when the first thing happens. But if it's a trend... Let's get to the root of it and resolve that. I'm a resolve person. I don't want to just, like, talk about shit like fairy dust. Like, I want to get to it, however long it takes to get to it, and then we move on to it because I know that there's going to be something else. And I just don't want to have a bunch of shit on my plate. So when it comes to root, you know, an example she gave was, like, you know, she had told him that, like, she has some trust issues and some other stuff, and she's working through that, whatever. And he didn't call her, like, 9 hours had passed. And typically they talk, you know what I'm saying, in some way, shape, or form. And so...
she brought it up, and he tried to place it back on her issues.
Yeah, he
that,
was like, yo,
that
is this,
she shared with him
is this
that
your trust
she
issues?
Had.
And so then what they said, and I didn't have this part in the clip, and he was like, ah, you know, weaponize it.
Absolutely.
And I disagree with that.
That is absolutely what he just
but
did.
And I find it so what is the proper way to
because
address that thing? Because
don't so when I say to you, hey, you know what? I noticed that, you know, 10 hours has passed and that's not our typical thing where we don't communicate with each other. Is everything okay? Right? I'm assuming this is how she approached the situation.
Yeah.
Right.
And he said he was busy.
And
but she didn't like that.
And no, I was just busy. Yeah, but you're busy every other day that we communicate between these times.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is
so, oh, now, oh, that must be your trust issues. Yeah, no. No, let's have a conversation about this. Like, don't automatically throw that back at me because I'm calling you out on your bullshit.
But see, and I think.
And that's just what that is.
That's hard, though.
It's not hard, except the fact that you messed up by not communicating with me. Like, you chose not to follow the same pattern that we've created with each other for X amount of weeks, months, whatever.
That's tricky.
You chose to break that pattern. So when I say, hey, what's going on? Don't then say that, right?
I think that, I don't know. I mean, that stuck out to me because I'm like, see, like, that's tough because you have said to me in the past about me, like, throwing something up in your face. And you disagree with what?
You've done it.
See, I disagree with that. I feel like there's a difference in throwing something up in someone's face versus referencing that to make the point. And for me, if I tell you that, what the fuck are you
watch
doing?
Watch your mouth, my guy.
That just peaked the, what are you doing,
my apologies.
Babe? What is
go
that?
Go ahead.
Why?
I just said my apologies.
Jeez Louise. Shit's all red and everything.
Okay, move on.
Well, I hope it does. We don't sound like Martians. So,
So, why don't you check?
No. You shouldn't have did that.
I mean.
So if I say to you, you know, I have a thing when, you know, doors are slammed. It reminds me of when my mother used to slam the door, right? And I say that to you. That's me sharing something and saying it out loud and letting the person know that that's something that I am working through. Now, if you happen to slam the door and I get upset, I think it's different of how you frame that to reference that back. But I don't personally believe that once I share that with you, then that gets put in a vault and it never is to be said again by me, only by you. Because anytime I say that can be said as it's weaponized.
So like, if I didn't slam the door on purpose, relax, I ain't your mother.
Well, so that could be weaponized. But if I said I didn't slam the door, like, and then I say, you know, like, you already share with me, like, doors being slammed triggers you. Like, that's not what
but
that was.
But the reality is that you touched the door and it slammed. Now, whether it was the wind that blew it, whatever, then just acknowledge that the door slammed and say, hey, I know how you feel about that. You know, how check in. How are you? I didn't mean to slam the door. I just wanted to check in to see how you're feeling right now. I didn't mean to slam the door. How are you? I know that bothers you. I know that triggers you in a way. I like acknowledge it, but don't throw it in my face. Like, yo, I ain't do that shit on purpose. I ain't your mother. There's a difference with that.
Yeah, that statement, yes. But I think saying it differently. But I guess, so my question
is, but are we
is,
arguing about it? Like, so there's a difference. So like, are we having a disagreement about it? Or if there's something that happened and you see me jump, and you just now you don't acknowledge it. You don't acknowledge my jump. You don't acknowledge the door slamming.
I think you know, I guess it's just better to not reference it back. But I just feel it's
and
hard.
Don't reference it. So it becomes weaponizing when you reference it back in an argument to like drill your point home, right? Like if it's something that is triggering, like don't use something else.
Because
I would
love in a perfect world that like
the person
would say that themselves. They would say, I know that I struggle with this and that's not what it was. Because it's absolutely going to be on anyone, the receiving end, it's going to be in the front of their brain that this is why I'm even having this argument. And so you have to force yourself to not say it because then it's going to be seen as weaponized and thrown in your face. That's the part that's tricky and tough.
I think
because I'm not ever doing that to slight you. I'm literally using a reference point, which is no different than me referencing when you extended a trip or when you told me to not stay out and I didn't technically sleep out. But I came home late. Those are all, to me, those are all reference points to make a point of what you're saying. And when people say, well, don't bring up past. Well, the past
so
is,
I
the
think,
past
I
was
think
yesterday.
That there's, I think that there's a difference, right, when you are referencing. So if I've communicated to you that I have an issue with said thing, right, and then you go ahead before we, you know what I'm saying? And so they were just dating, right? And so, like, I don't know how, what phase they were in. But as we are getting to know each other, and I share with you, Ayo, I have an issue with X, Y, and Z, right? And then a few weeks later, you do X, Y, and some of Z, right? Knowing that we've already communicated and I've already expressed to you, you know, hey, when this happens, it makes me feel like this. Right. And this happens to make me feel like that because of yada, 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 yada. Now you go and do X, Y, and Z. You might not have did the yada, 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 but you go ahead and you ruffle those feathers that, you know, are there. And when I bring it to your attention, like, hey, when you did this, that, and next, it made me feel like blah, blah, blah. And for you to use that against me and say, Ayo, I was just busy. Instead of saying, you know what, I realized that my actions could have made you feel like blah, blah, blah. And I apologize for not being in communication with you all day like we typically are. That's different than saying, yo, chill out, I ain't that dude that you used to fuck with.
That's fair. Okay. Received. All right. The last clip. You want to read your thing or do you want to say
it? I don't even know where my phone is.
Come on, Leah. All right. So this is the last clip.
I hate the burden of having to talk about my transness on the first or even the second date.
Wow. You would let me take you out twice.
Well, this is ideal.
Right. And not say, just so you know,
if we met out and about, yeah, I'm more likely to hold off longer. Now, online, if I'm like on an app or something, I put it in my profiles. Like, I don't play that game.
No, but if I met you at a bar, restaurant, whatever, Raquel, so beautiful, can I take you out? Sure.
It varies, but I'm not going to be like, can you take me out? Sure. Oh, by the way, I'm trans. Like, I might do that, but I don't feel obligated to do that all the time.
It's interesting that you say you don't feel obligated.
Do you want to go first or you want me to go?
I think that I don't even want to touch this. However, I can and I will. And, you know, and maybe I won't actually. Maybe I'll leave that to you. I can have my opinion, but I'm not on the dating scene. And so this doesn't, and, you know, I'm not attracted to women. So this doesn't really... I mean, I guess it can be, you know, a trans male, but I'm not on a dating scene. However, if I was and I met someone, I think that it's only fair for them to disclose, you know, what their original gender, you know, was. And if they have an assigned gender, right? However, if they are not necessarily forthcoming with that, I think, again, we talked about this. We, like, when we are meeting people and show interest and are considering dating, like, you really need to have conversations and ask hard questions. And I think anyone in this day and age who chooses to... allow ignorance to be at the forefront of their game, then you get what you get. So
I think,
should you disclose? Absolutely. You should be absolutely forthcoming, right? I don't think, like, you know, it's fair to do the trickery, right? However, if you are on the dating scene, it is your responsibility to ask all kinds of questions and not just, hey, what do you do for work? Hey, do you have your, you know, do you, you know, how are you situated financially? You know what I mean? Like, ask all the questions.
And then it's up to the person to answer them honestly.
And they need to answer them honestly.
What I think that, unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a thing, and it's a very general statement. There's a thing in men with our machismo and bravado. And depending on how you were brought up and who you were brought up to and your environment and what you saw and what you consider masculine and what you consider feminine and all that stuff, I think it impacts how you respond to things. And so something as simple as, and I'll never forget stories that I shared, like when I worked at the Gap on Newbury Street, and it was a group of gay men that came in while I was working as a sales associate, and they complimented me. I was like, you're so fine or something like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, thank you. Like, I'm not going to, and I remember telling people that, and they're like, I'm like, yo, I'm not supposed to go and punch him in the face because he said I'm attractive. Like, thank you. I'm not interested any further. Thank you. And I kept moving, right? Like, for me, it's no need for me to, how dare you? However, if I'm meeting someone who I'm thinking is something, and for me, this is the same as like Rachel Dolezal, to change their name now, right? If I'm meeting someone who I think is a black woman and she's actually not, I'm only seeing at face value what I'm seeing. And so it's up to you for you to tell me now, whether it's the first date, second date, it should definitely not be fifth, sixth, 10th, 15th, but just like say it, because you're big on this. Not that I'm not big on it, but I feel like we see it a little differently, little nuance, but you're giving a person a choice. Right. And it's just not fair, and bad things happen, whether they should happen or not. I don't believe that violence should happen to anybody. But so bad things happen when things are found out in an intimate space.
So here's what I'll say. What you just said, you're taking things at face value. That's where you mess up at.
I mean,
that's where you mess up at. And if you are asking these questions and the person on the receiving end is offended, then you know what? Be offended. Mm. You ain't for me. This ain't going no further. Great. You just X'd yourself out. Or I just X'd myself out of a situation that wasn't going to work anyway.
That's fair. I mean, I guess we have to adapt to the times of where they are. I just feel like, you know, and I guess having old thoughts and old practices doesn't work. You know, in the words of the great Mario Van Peebles and the classic film New Jack City, we got to have New Jack solutions to New Jack problems. And so, yeah, I just think that to have that type of cavalier attitude of, I don't feel like it's my responsibility.
I mean, I think that that's wild in itself, right? Yeah. But at the same time, again, so, okay, you are choosing not to say, hey, by the way, I'm trans. You know what I'm saying? Okay, don't feel comfortable with that. However, if I ask you specific, like if I ask you directly, then this is where you have the space to do so, and you should feel comfortable with doing so. You know, like today, I'll be honest, you know what I'm saying? Like I was on the phone and I was making an appointment. I was registering for an appointment, and you know, the people on the other end was like, you know, I have a few questions to ask you. This is not going to impact the level of care that you receive when you come, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, like, what the heck can you be asking me that would possibly, you know, affect the level of care that I'll receive when I get there? And so, you know, she's like, you know, what do you identify as? Or however she said, the bottom line was she was asking me, what do you identify as? I'm like, female. Then she's like, what was your what was your assigned gender at birth? Mm-hmm. I'm answering the questions, and a part of me at the moment, you know what I'm saying? You know, what are your pronouns? You know, what are you now? But like, you know, she's just going through all the things, right? And I'm answering the questions, but you know, a part of me was like, yo, what? Like, this is where we are.
Yeah. And, you know, I think when it comes to healthcare is one thing, because I've seen it from the other end. You
and
know,
I understand it, because now, you know, like, there's just all the, you know, you just need to be PC. And that's just what it is.
Well, PC, it's also PC. Care in a sense of a person, you know, I think it's one thing if you just say, you know, what is your gender? And a person says male, right? But they're actually female, and
so,
they haven't gone through
so
any
not,
of the...
Do not get me wrong. Like, this is why I started off saying I understand why, right? But it's still, you know, who as a natural born woman who is still a natural woman, right, who identifies as such, where I haven't had to answer those type of questions prior to today.
And, you know, I
so
think...
So for me, it's different, right? And it's just like, damn, like, when did we get... I mean, and it sounds crazy, but it's a real question. Like, when did we get here? Wow, I didn't, like... We're here.
Yeah.
Am I aware of that? You know what I'm saying? This is a thing. I'm aware of it. But it never really affected me, because it's not my world. I just live in a world with it. But now, and it's not really affecting me technically now, it has no bearing on the level of care that I'm going to get, I don't believe. Right. But to have to answer these, you know, to take 7 minutes to go through these lists of questions that were not normally there, and doing so on the phone at a time where I didn't have an additional 7 to 10 minutes to give you for this.
Well, that's the flip side. And, you know, I think 'cause it's definitely a longer well, it's a different conversation for sure, but I think the point of the clip is I think people should be honest in whatever that is. I mean, if we're gonna say about people being married or being in a relationship and being open and being transparent about things, then absolutely when it comes to your assigned gender, your preferred gender, your sexuality, your preferences, like, I think that those are things that you know, as adults, I don't know if we owe really anyone, depending on what your situation is, but the person who you are personally courting or trying to court or trying to be courted, you owe them the decency to at least say, we're not talking about like, you know, I'm bipolar and I take medication. I don't think that should come out in the second date. I just don't. I don't think that's a realistic thing. And I know, like, I don't want to get into it, but I just don't think.
So here's the thing. Here's a great thing is that I'm not on the dating scene.
Thank God, so, Leah, because I don't know. I just, like, there's certain things.
Thank God. Excuse me.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm trying to like put a button on this.
No, I mean, but you just popped that button, baby. So like,
I didn't pop anything.
Oh, you popped it.
I'm saying that I think it is.
Are you thanking God that you're not out there on the dating scene right now?
I guess so, Leah. Just to be uniform. But when it comes to you and your expectations of how the second and third date goes, thank God that you're not on a dating scene.
And that's just period. That's just.
And I just like we are showing up as our representatives. So I don't know what type of answers you're going to actually get. And then it's going to set you up for
the person answering
you one way and then ends up being something else. And I think to have certain conversations on the first date, I think asking anything about, you know, how's your parenting style? Like, what do you think, you know, you think your child should be baptized? What do you think about religion? I think those things are absolutely important, 100%.
All of it is.
But the first and second, you don't even know if the person can put together a sentence.
So, before we even, I'm looking at how you chew.
If you chew with your mouth open, that's a turn off for me, and I'm not going to call you again.
Great.
So that is actually, that's at the top. I'm looking at your teeth. I'm you know what I mean?
So, listen, again, so I'm going to do all of that before I even give you my phone number. So what are we talking about?
Oh, Leah, knock it off.
What are we doing? I'm assessing whether you are at or above standard. Mine.
Oh, standards again. Here we go with the standards.
All right. If you pass the first list of checks, then now we may proceed with exchanging information.
Pass the first list of checks.
If you,
it's a fucking job, like a. All right.
It is, cause I'm work, and I know it.
Oh,
but I also
baby.
Know that I'm God. Worth it.
What? What'd you say?
And I also know that I'm worth it.
You know you're worth it.
And the.
Huh? That's what you're saying?
I'm saying I know that I'm worth
it. Do you have any validation of that? Do you have any certification and blue checks to say that you're worth
it? Are you here?
What?
Are you here? How long you been here?
Leah, you...
How long have you been here?
As long as you've been here. But, like, saying that to me is a wild thing. Like,
it's not wild at all.
I'm not, like, I'm not under your titty. It's not wild at all. I'm not you're not breastfeeding me. What do you mean?
I did for a little while.
Oh, yes, Daddy.
All right, guys. This has been fun. Insert sarcasm. We will see you same bat time, same bat channel. You know what it is. Make sure you share, follow, comment, ask us questions. You know, weigh in on what you feel. You know, we typically don't do a whole lot of I don't know, content jacking is the right thing, but you know, basically taking someone else's content and then commenting off of that. We typically don't do it, but we do like to have our perspective as a married couple, as friends, and give our POVs, you know. So we do like to do that every now and then. So hopefully you all enjoyed it. You know, we was trying to go for like a 45-minute clip, but, you know, Leah had to talk about standards and shit. So now we're at like 59:30. So it is what it is.
That's cool. And don't drop them. Continue to have them. Continue to have honest conversations. Continue to ask questions. Don't be a fool for a fool.
Where's the mute
period?
Button? All right. Can you do your tag so we can?
We're locked and loaded.
LLJ Cool J.
We're locked and loaded.
We're locked and loaded.